In our study, we ought to be reminded we are in the presence of God, so we don't have to go far. And God has given us His Word, and God has kept His Word, keeps His Word. So, in the presence of God and in an open Bible, His Word, God, You know all about what You've recorded for us. And we want to take advantage of that which You have recorded so that we are the immediate beneficiaries of truth and understanding, because You know all about our tomorrow. We haven't got there yet, but You do. So therefore, God, we're looking for You to help us, and we're going to be very thankful. So therefore, as we look in the light of that, Jeremiah chapter 20, you remember, as we studied, this Pashkor, and Pashkor is the head of the, he's the priest, the head priest of the keeping order and keeping everything as it should be in the temple. And he has a whole contingent of soldiers. Military. He has a whole bunch of them. He runs them. As in the days of our Lord, even. So here he is, and he is in charge, and Jeremiah, as we shared, has just pushed it to the limit as far as he's concerned. And he's beaten him up, as it were, and put him in stocks and everything. And in the process, as we shared all that, Magor Misapib, remember, God said that's going to be his name. And we shared that together because God said you're going to be a terror in every way. And remember we shared that last time. An awesome terror you're going to be in every way to the people. And we looked at that. Now, and as we proceed in Jeremiah, as we share together, is going to react to that, and they're out to kill him. So they let him loose, but they're going to get him, and they're after him again and again, and nothing lets up. And Jeremiah has been a lot of years with, right now, historically, with Pashkor. We're at 597, because he's going to go into Nebuchadnezzar's going to take him into captivity and take him to Babylon. So we know it's 597, thereabouts. So now, here we are looking, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in one more time in 586 and destroy the city. But each time, they have plenty of opportunity, but Jeremiah is living in the midst, as we shared many times, he's living in the midst of this, day in and day out. He doesn't have any relief. He isn't going anywhere. He's over and over again in Jerusalem in the thick and thin of it. Now, so, therefore, when you come to verse 7, O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Yet Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. So, here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is looking to God again, as we've shared each time, and understandably. So now, in order to grab this particular section, in order to have that, you have to understand this is one of the most helpful sections of all of the prophets. This is one that stands out. If you're going to pick something, and the big theologians were going to pick something, this is the one they'd pick out. If you want to know what a prophet's heart is, this is the press. They're going to help you. The prophet, we can all say things, but you need to know the heart of the messenger and what the prophet goes through. And Jeremiah is going to give you an inside look at the prophet's insides of fighting and being a representative of God. It's hard. Now, in order to get that in a way, do you see the word, the verb, in verse 7? Jeremiah says, God is stronger than he is. He's stronger than, and he hath prevailed. So we got two verbs, and one of them is stronger. And Jeremiah said, thou art stronger. Now, that's very helpful. Jeremiah is going to go give you a view inside of his life, his heart, and then he's going to climb the mountain and shout for joy. It has to go, it's the process. Now, so here's the word verb stronger. So in order to capture that a little bit, let's go back in history and see God is stronger. And Jeremiah is God's man. He has been given, as we know in Jeremiah chapter 1, he's been made a fort, an iron fence. He's made inaccessible city. He's invincible. You can't get him. No one can get him. Now, so he has all of that, and God made him that. But you have to put what God does and is, you have to put that together with where we're supposed to be in getting a hold of that God in whose presence we are, who keeps all of the zillions and trillions and true trillion plus observable somehow galaxies, not stars, floating around. God has them all in order. He has all the stars in name, everything. Wow. And here's Israel over there, new events. And they're seeking to make Jerusalem, aren't they, trying to do that? That's rather interesting, isn't it? Because the Antichrist is going to, when he signs a treaty, it's going to be in Jerusalem. Right now, it isn't. But it is interesting. You'd say, well, when's it going to get there? Right now, they're at least pointing. The Jerusalem has to be the centerpiece. And that's interesting movements. So you don't want to get all upset about that. God said it has to be. It's the way it is. And if you don't mind, the world can do whatever it wants with it. But I'm going to have it in Jerusalem. That's the starting point. So now, keeping that in mind, over if you would please to Deuteronomy. And in chapter 31. Deuteronomy in chapter 31, and picking up in thought, remember now we're looking at a little word, strong. And you want to think of the word strong, firm, tight, and the way you want to capture that word is think of a rope. And you take a strand, and like you could go down to Mystic Seaport and see the rope machine. And see it, and you take strand after strand after strand after strand, and it gets thicker and thicker and bigger and holds a great big battleship. It could. Wow. Wow. Now, that's it. That's what the word is, to keep twisting everything together and make it stronger and stronger. That's a little verb we're looking at, so hang on to that. God is stronger than I am. Now, God, what did you tell your people what they should know in the light of your wonderful strongness? Chapter 31, and picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Yes, your little word, be strong. Good courage has to do with the mind. Vibrant. Sharp. Very sharp. It would be used in the background. The color of a deep red. Deep, you couldn't miss it. Sharp, vibrant, the mind. Vibrant, valiant, the mind. Courage. Now, and then strength, rope, strong. So now, God, what are you telling Moses and Joshua and them? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, be not afraid of them. For the Lord, why not? For the Lord thy God, it is he that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He won't do that. Now, verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. There's repeating it, both words. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Now, that's what you're going to do. Now, God, you made wonderful promises. And in verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, you haven't gone anywhere. You're just sitting in the building, waiting for the ship to take you to the battlefield. And God's saying, listen, before we cross the Jordan, which is this right at this time, you need to be instructed what you already knew. Be strong and of good courage. That's what you're going to have to be, as you know, as we studied verse 23. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So God is encouraging them. God, you are stronger. That's right. But you're supposed to be strong. Now, how can we be strong? Well, because God said, I am strong. See? And I'm with you. I was with you. I had a occasion today with a situation, and a man was standing there, and the little boy was there and reminded me of my own background experience. Little boy was there, and we were trying to talk, and the little boy just held on to his pant leg, you know, and he slid around and looked and then slid behind, always holding the pant leg, and then he slid to the other leg and held the pant leg. And that was our whole setting. That was the whole arrangement, you see. And if I was a big bad wolf, he would have been all set because his dad would have taken care of him. No question about it. No question about it. God, here we are. We're just little, but boy, we're to look out there and not be afraid of what's out there. There's plenty out there around you, in you. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courage. But God said, I'm strong. And you're looking to me. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Simple. Hang on. Now, in the light of that, over as you'd expect, to Joshua chapter 1, where it took place, and you'll remember as we did that. Joshua chapter 1. And if I may, picking up in the light of everything, Joshua chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. Now that's to Joshua. To Joshua. And I'm giving you, and all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, way over there on the other side, east of that. Now, and sliding down to verse 6, I'll read verse 5 for the sake of context. There shall not any man be able to stand before me all the days of my life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And God says that over and over again, if we'd listen. Be strong. Here's your combination. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide inheritance, etc., etc. Verse 7. Be strong and of very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You may have the wisdom and the understanding to be very wise, to be very successful. How successful? You'll always win. I'm stronger than anyone. When you're trusting my strength, in your weakness, you will win. It's the way it is. You're going to have to experience it. I'm going to have to let you go through it. Otherwise, you'll never know it. So you have to learn it. Now, so here we are. Proceeding, and again, be strong and of good courage. And, might as well read it, because God's word, how are we going to keep God's word? You say it to us, we're reading it. We're reading it to have the benefit of it. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest reason. You're going to observe to do, we put it to work. Believers need to be believing, to put it to work according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. And again, it's repeated from verse 7. Now, you're going to have wonderful success in what you do. That's God's, we just shared it on Sunday. It's God's wonderful plan, his awesome plan. That's what he wants. You can't think about God in any other way. That's what God wants, success. Success. You won't read failure. Where are you going to read that? You won't read it. Well, the problem isn't with God, it's with humans. Now, and sliding down now to we'll hit that in just a bit then. Let's hold off on that. And go with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles and get some illustration, because that's what we're trying to get, so we can understand and move along with Jeremiah. Over to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and chapter 22, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and picking up, please, if I can, in verse 13. Now remember now, this is David and Solomon, and David was strong. In fact, the words, be wise and of good courage, you won't find him with everybody, but boy, do you find them with David. David, boy, that's what he did. Boom, God will use it. My man is strong, he's wise, he's listening to me. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Wow, and David was. So David, you're going to try to help Solomon, who's supposed to take your place. And in chapter 22 and in verse 13, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. And then, having Joshua, now here's David now later, be strong, and what do you got, Solomon? Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, don't be dismayed. Don't be, hang on to that. Don't let anything throw you. Over to chapter 28. And it's going to be said again to him. God repeats things over and over, and finally we get them, maybe. Chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, and David again to Solomon. Verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Why not? For the Lord God, even my God. I don't know about you, David, but my God. My God will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David is encouraging Solomon. David succeeded in his most awesome way and is in God's grace and mercy. And Solomon is to go forward. Now, Solomon isn't going to have the heart of David, and he doesn't do that. But he knows God, and he knows God has to do, or it won't work. And that's why Solomon had 40 years of peace. God gave it to them as a gift. Now, having said that little bit, over to 2 Chronicles, and in chapter 32. Now, when we come to chapter 32, picking up in thought. Now, remember the Assyrians were there. Here's the 10 tribes of the north. The Assyrians took the 10 tribes, took them. And the Assyrians later coming down, here's Hezekiah, and they're going to come down and get him. Babylon's going to get them, ultimately. But Assyria comes down. So, and that's a... What are we going to do, Hezekiah? Well, and you remember now, verse 6. He set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Now, what did you tell? What did you tell the people to be? What are you going to do against the king of Assyria? Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, great army. For there is more with us than with him." And you look around, and then you look out there and say, how do you figure that? Verse 8, "For with him is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and he gave them good advice and good instruction as their king. Now, having said that, so here's Hezekiah, and every time crisis and problems and God, you're always reminding. You aren't reminding people about your strength. You're reminding us about our strength. What we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be strong and of good courage, and that's what we're supposed to be. Now, over, if you would, Isaiah chapter 41. In Isaiah chapter 41, get there. Now, so here's Israel on the days of Isaiah, and here's Israel, verse chapter 41, picking up, please, in verse 8. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Therefore, since I am an ever-present God, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee." That word strengthen is the word courage, courage the mind. I have all the vitality, mental vitality, the vigor, the vigilance, more than a conqueror, as it were. "I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Uh-huh. Okay, so God, you're going to do all that. That's what I said. He said it. I mean, he can't be more specific than that, and he can't have a better encouragement than that. But is Israel going to listen? No. Is ultimately Jerusalem going to listen? No, when they read it. We're reading it. Are we going to listen? Verse 13. "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand." There's the little word courage, courage in this place, courage here, courage, the strength, courage. Be strong. "I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand." I'm strong enough to hold it. "Saying unto thee, I'll hold the ship with a big rope, and I'll hold you. Saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." And then God, in his wonderful way of saying things, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, O ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord." You know, you guys, I look down and say, you poor guys, you don't even know who I am. You aren't even honoring me. You need to honor me. Jacob, won't you understand, if I'm with you, what are you afraid of? What on earth could you possibly be afraid of anywhere? Anywhere. If I'm there, doing what I do, is there any falling meteor, earthquake, disease, a bug, a little bug? No. No, not at all. Trust me. Thus, and there, thou worm Jacob. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, in your Bible, Ruth. Gospel of Ruth. the good news of Ruth. And you would recall a little word again. And picking up, if I may, in Ruth chapter 1, remember now, Ruth is a Moabite. Naomi is a Jew. There's no men, they're just the women. And the Naomi, the Moabite, has to make a decision. Her other friend doesn't want to go. But Ruth is locked on to the background and understanding of Naomi. Naomi isn't very with it. She's bitter. But in the process of being bitter and all of that, she has a sense of God that Moabites never have, and no one else is going to have either. Because how are you going to have a real sense of God without God? Is that all right? All the Buddhas using Buddha, because he's noticeable, he's so big. Here's Buddha. Now, how many Buddhas, if you go to 5,000 Buddhas, or whatever, anything, it doesn't matter, Allah, how many of them? What do you want to do? How many of those, when are you going to hear from God? I don't know. But they don't intend to hear from God. They're just going to be religious. That's all. Just be religious. You don't want to hear from God. No. We don't want it because we can't afford to hear from God like we shared on Sunday. Evil. Our hearts are evil. And we don't want to know that because we think of evil as, I don't want to get into that. Now, so here's Ruth. And in going along, verse 16, Ruth said, entreat me, verse 16, 1 and 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither goest thou, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. So that she knows enough, Moabite, the Ruth does, that boy, there's no, you're going to go back to where it ought to be, and I want to make sure I'm with you to get there. Therefore, verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded, Naomi's looking at Ruth, to go with her, steadfastly minded, strong, twisting the ropes together. Ruth is so set, she isn't going to leave. She isn't going to move. She isn't going to change. She's locked in. Wow. Steadfastly minded, strong. Now, that's what she is. But she hasn't got anything yet, but she's hanging it. She's going to find it because she's heart is set to do so. Now, and God will honor that, as you know, Boaz and Jesse and then David. Now, so having said that little bit, over, if you would, to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, David is going to go again. Each one, their circumstances were hard, difficult, but they were to be strong and courageous, and to go forward, because that's what they were to do. And they were to know the benefits, if they did, and they did. Hezekiah, all of them. Now, David, Psalm 27, picking up if I can. Remember, David is going to be out there. David is looking. David's the one that told Solomon to be strong and of good courage. So here's Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Etc. Verse 3. Well, I read it. You can pick up the flavor of it. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Jeremiah, do you know that? Sure you do. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To what for? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wow, just to be with God. And remember the psalmist, 73:1 and all that, 73. Who have I in heaven but you? Who have I anywhere but you, God? What makes heaven? God does. What makes it forever? Awesome. And if you think about it, I'll give you a little thing to think about, if you would. I want you to think about, here's God in unending being. Awesome. And no time. And he creates angels, which we've done all of that, to follow that and get that whole flavor of it, to remember the angels. That's the whole ball game when you're done. It starts with them and ends with them in an awesome way. Now, in the process of that, now, and we're going to be forever in the place of God, forever, new heavens and a new earth, and all of the angels are going to be looking, the good guys, and especially the bad guys are going to know it, the new heaven and new earth, and it's all about humans. And the angels are going to have an education forever, looking at a new heaven and a new earth, and the humans in that holy heavenly city, and the church, Christ's body, believers, they're going to look forever and see forever. God is going to keep them educated forever by presenting to them humans. And he's the center, the Son of Man. He's the one that dies, and he's the one that's all about. And God centers it in the humans so that all of creation and angels can learn forever. Learn from ever from just little old us, humans, in that wonderful place forever. And they're going to do that. And now and forever, what on earth is forever? Did you ever think of that? And God's going to continue to display himself forever. Now, we haven't even got anything yet. We don't know. God didn't tell us. We don't know before. We don't know after. We just know what we have. But God, you're God, and you can anticipate what on earth is 7 zillion 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 light years from now. God, what on earth are you going to do? What else are you going to do? What else is there going to be? God, it isn't going to change for us, but wow, it's an awesome thought, isn't it? Wow, future. What a future. Now, Psalm 27, picking up, David said, I want to be enjoy the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. Now, verse 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In this life, I need to understand God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Therefore, wait on the Lord, it's a command, be waiting on the Lord, do it with diligently, with vigor, with enthusiasm, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, there's your word, strong, be of good courage, be strong, and he shall strengthen, little different word, but similar, he shall strengthen thine heart, wait, I say in the Lord, God, to bind everything together, to put it all together, to be strong. So God, David, what did you told Solomon, be strong and of good courage. What are we supposed to do? What did you tell us? What did you tell us here in Psalm 27? Be strong and of good courage. Wait on the Lord. But don't get weak and don't get wayward. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Now, over if you would please, to Joshua, back to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, if I may pick up in thought, so you see it. Now, remember, God's telling you what you need to do so that you make it. Otherwise, you're going to go through, you'll do do our human stuff, we fall down and all the rest of it, but Joshua chapter 1, we did the up to verse 8. Now, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. There's our two words again. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why not? For the Lord, thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, I want you to go and be strong and of good courage, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear run, take your life. And don't be afraid, and don't be dismayed. Be dismayed to be disabled because of fear, because of shock, because of what you see, what you're going through, whatever. Don't be disabled. Don't be disabled. You can get all disabled because you can't do anything. Don't do that. Don't let that happen. You don't have to. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Dismayed. Don't be disabled. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, remember now, A, resting in God and his word and his work. That's what we're going to do. We're going to rest in that. And we're going to have confidence. And the confidence is received. Where are we going to get confidence? We're going to have confidence, excess, and hope, and all of those wonderful things. Where are we going to get them? From God. Looking to God. Remember the little illustration we used, the little boy and that? Where's he getting his strength? It isn't in him. In no way. It's in the pant leg. It's in the boy, in the man. That's where it is. So you can't say, well, I've got, no, it isn't because we got anything. It's because God has done wonderful things for you. Think, if you would, with Abraham. Abraham's 100 years old. His wife's up there, same. And when God, when they got ended, where they can't do anything, Romans chapter 4, they were not weak in faith. They looked to God. And that's what they did. And God honored it. And God honored. Impossible situation. God wants to be honored. That's all. You're going to honor him and respect him. And therefore, we're going to honor God and his word and his work and have confidence in his wonderful presence. We're going to have courage, be strong and of good courage. And what's that going to do? Well, because we need to be that, because we are conscious. When we are conscious of our weakness, and in constant dependence, we're weak. Using the little boy to hang on to that illustration. Hang on to that. The little boy is going to hang in there. He's confident. He's weak. There's no way he can. No. And he's dependent. He doesn't quit. Therefore, he has courage, and he has confidence. And he did, because he was hanging on. That's where it was. It wasn't in him. It was in where it was hanging on to. God said, be strong. I want you to go and look to me. And trust me. And in the process, verse 9, one of the problems it's going to have is because weakness. Weakness requires a relationship. And you need to know your weakness. Say, I don't want to be weak. Well, you have to be weak. You are really weak. You know, when you think you're strong, you actually aren't strong. You seem to be strong, but you aren't strong. You're really weak. And your body is going to, whatever, your body, your mind, your heart, as strong as you think you are, you aren't strong. There's always someone stronger than you, 1,000 times over. And everything's bigger than you, stronger than you. You can't do. Now, you can say you're very strong, using a silly illustration, and say you're very strong, very strong. Well, put your fingers in the receptacle over there, and let's see how strong you are. You know, plug in with your fingers. Let's see how strong you are. Well, you aren't strong. But I was strong. No, you aren't. It's all kinds of things. And we don't know that. We don't realize that. So therefore, the product of a conscious weakness and an awesome constant dependence answers and makes us have strength. And the problem of Weakness, again, requires, as we said, relationship. The relationship we need to have claims strength, reality of strength. Where is the strength? In God. God. Now, you can say whatever you want now, but could you say in your mind and heart right now, is God, in whose presence we are, is he strong? That's my guess. Is he strong? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's strong? How strong do you think he is? Really? How strong? Well, that's the trouble. We don't lock onto that enough to enjoy it. If it's really strong, if the pant leg's really good, man, you're all set. And no matter what, no matter who, when, God, we're looking to you to help us now. So therefore, over if you would please, in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, if I can, and in chapter 1, just a little word for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you recall, God, pride kills us. P-R-I-D-E, kills us. God hates pride. Of all the things, proud. That's at the top of the list. You say, what's wrong? Your pride. Pride. You want to know what I hate? I hate pride. I hate pride. There's a whole lot of things I hate, but I hate pride. I hate that. So we got that. But now God, so his us humans, and you know, picking up down verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1, how that not many wise men after the flesh, no, because they're too wise. Not many mighty, because they're too strong. Not many noble are called, because they got wonderful positions and privilege. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak, there's your little word, infirmity, the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base and low things of the world, the things which are despised. God hath chosen, yea, the things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? God, what is the process taking place? No flesh shall glory in my presence. You want to know what it's all about? No flesh shall glory in my presence. That's what I'm trying to help you see. Your weakness, my strength. You'll be strong and of good courage because you're looking to me. And there's no reason under the sun that you can't do that. I'm here to do so, God. So here we are. And that's an awesome thing. Therefore, you want to read verse 29 and then verse 30. Verse 30. But to him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our God, Christ is our life. He's everything. God is. That's right. He's the creator. And that purpose, verse 31, according as it is written, he that glorieth is going to boast and get excited. Let him glory or boast in the Lord. If you want to get excited about things, get excited about God. And Jeremiah, therefore, God, Jeremiah says, God, you're stronger than I am. That's right. Absolutely. And you have to learn that. Wow.